We thank Jesus for helping us and being there in our hour of need. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. And we're going to dismiss the children now. So if you're going to go back with Sandy, you're going to be dismissed. But let me pray over you first. Father, I want to thank you for all the children you've given to us. And I pray that our children would know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they would trust in you with all their heart and soul and mind and strength and not lean on their own understanding, but lean on you, Lord. I pray that you'd be with them right now in practice. And I pray that they would, as they sing these songs, just see you seated on the throne and they would worship you as they sing these songs. And I pray that you'd be with Sandy and give her patience and just watch over her and give her just discernment and wisdom as she leads them, Lord. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the children are dismissed that are in part of the program. All right? And it's fun to worship the Lord, isn't it? I know, this is great. Now, Ben, as he was singing that song, I'm sure he picked that song out for some reason, right? Because this is Ben's last week with us. Ben's headed off to Hawaii to go to Bible school and do some internship, and he's called of the Lord to do that, and we're going to pray with him, and he's going to actually come up and share about a little of that in a little bit from now. But before then, Jim Hancock and Sue are going to come up and give us a presentation about the Voice of the Martyrs, which is something that they're involved in. You know, I went back there a little while ago, and I saw they have this table set up, and everybody needs to go back there and look at that table before they leave here tonight. Man, my voice. It's good when you lose your voice while you're worshiping, isn't it? but the table, I saw a book back there called Tortured for Christ, and it was by Richard Wurmbrand, right? And that's a book that I read probably 15 or 20 years ago. And I'll tell you what, that's a fascinating book. And if you haven't read that, you should get a copy of that and read that book, because there's a guy who was in the Soviet Union at the time, and he was a Christian who was put in prison there and went through a lot of torture and a lot of things at the hands of the guards. And I'll tell you what, through that book, though, what spoke to me as I read that years ago is that he never blamed the guards. He never looked down on the guards. What he saw his ministry there as is speaking to the guards and ministering to them. And many of those guards came to know the Lord through his suffering in that. So he didn't see those guards as his enemy. He saw them as people that the Lord wanted him to witness to. And it's a fascinating book. So if you haven't read that, you need to read that. And I really appreciate that Jim and Sue are doing this because, you know, the church is universal. The church is worldwide. And sometimes we, you know, are here and we see this church here. And sometimes we see the church a little bit bigger in St. Louis area or even in Louisiana. But we rarely go outside of our country and see what's happening in other places around the world. Fortunately, my father-in-law does a lot of work with the Russian immigrants that have come here and that started coming here while the Soviet Union was still around. So for the past, 17 years, he's been doing that. So I've had some experience and been around some of those people, and they have some fascinating stories. But I'll tell you what, they have a love for the Lord. Our church has a love for the Lord. One of the things that is so true, though, is they don't hate the people that are persecuting them. It's not about that. They love those people that are persecuting them, and they preach to those people through the pain and suffering that they've gone through. So Jim and Sue, come on up here, and we appreciate the work you're doing.
Thanks, Dave. Okay. Why don't we pray? After worshiping like we just did, having a time like that with, you know, I sense the Lord's presence here. I almost don't want to leave that to go into something else, but why don't we pray? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we do thank you for your presence. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for opening our eyes to see you and to see Jesus Christ for who he is, and we do proclaim that Jesus is the name above every name, and that Jesus is on the throne. And we say that we're dependent on you, God. Without you, we can do nothing. We ask that you would continue to guide us, and as a church, that you'd continue to teach us and make us healthy and strong in the power of your Spirit. Lord, please help us as we share some things about the suffering church, the worldwide church. We pray that the things that we would speak would be things that are on your heart and that they would be on our heart. And we put the time before you. We ask that you would bless it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, many of you are probably aware that tomorrow is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And I wanted to share a little bit about just some background information that may help all of us appreciate, like Dave mentioned, a little bit about what's happening in the worldwide church. Because I don't know about you, but for me and for Sue, I think it's difficult sometimes to see out of the box. And I think we need to begin to look out of the box, because now's the time. I think we're living in exciting times, but there's a sense of urgency also, because there are things happening right now around the world that we need to be aware of, we need to be part of, because I think it's on God's heart. And we can talk a little bit about that. I had marked down, I thought it was appropriate. Last week, David preached and touched repeatedly on the issue of suffering and suffering in the church. And Robin Ramsey even brought up the passage from Paul, from Philippians 3, where Paul, in speaking about his goal, Paul said, "I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering." And it's not widely taught in the church, I don't think, but it's something that we really need to take a hold of, because part of what it means to be the body of Christ is to suffer along with Christ. And even though we live in a comfortable place right now, and there's affluence in the Church of America, the church worldwide, there's great suffering in the church. And so I wanted to say that, you know, the body of Christ, whether we're aware of it or not, is suffering today. There are some booklets in the back that I think everybody should look at. It's a good booklet called "Christians Are No Longer Persecuted." This is what much of the church would like you to believe, that Christians are no longer persecuted. And the quote that I'd like to read from this little booklet says this: "Christians in more than 40 nations currently face systematic persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. They could avoid the trials if they simply denied their faith or refrained from being a witness in the place where they are. But they refuse, standing bold for the one who gave his son to die on a cross. And we stand with them, refusing to allow our persecuted family to suffer in silence." And I think that's what the Voice of the Martyrs is all about. The Voice of the Martyrs, as Dave mentioned, this book that's back there, "Tortured for Christ," that book was originally written in about 1967 by Richard Wurmbrand after he was released, basically ransomed out of Romania. The neat thing about that book that's back there is it's the revised or the updated version after the Soviet Union, communism, fell. So he, before Richard Wurmbrand died 5 years ago, he updated that book and kind of fleshed it out in the light of the fall of communism in the place where he was. And I think that's a terrific book to read if you haven't read it, because it really, like Dave said, it really illustrates the heart that a suffering Christian had, not only for the church that was suffering, but for his persecutors who were blind and couldn't see. I also want to point out that there's an insert in the bulletin. You should have an insert in the bulletin from VOM called "Faces of Persecution." And on the inside of that insert is a map of the world with restricted and hostile nations all highlighted there. And it's a pretty good overview of the nations that are really under fire today for evangelical witness or the Christian faith that's there. And I encourage you to look at that. I wanted to share just a little bit of background because I think this helped. This has helped me. I think it may be helpful to you. I wasn't really tuned into what's happening outside the West now in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so just some facts to be aware of. 20% of the world population today still lives under communist oppression. Even though we've seen communist power come down in the Soviet Union, 20% of the world population still lives under communist control and oppression. And there's great persecution in communist countries such as China, North Korea, Vietnam. But the persecution's even worse today in Muslim-controlled nations, nations like Sudan and Indonesia and Pakistan. Those are places that the government is actively attacking Christians and supporting the enemies of Christians in those places. And so we need to understand what's going on out there. There's greater persecution now. I think there have been more Christian martyrs in the 20th century than in all the centuries that preceded that. And I don't think I ever really had a handle on that. But the 20th century represents a time that Christians are suffering and being put to death for their faith more than any other. I would say that the growth of the church, this is something I wasn't aware of, maybe you aren't either. In the year 1800, only 1% of the Christian church was represented outside the West. 1%. So evangelical witness in the Christian church, the Church of Jesus Christ, was really only found in the Western nations. And by the time 1900 came around, that hadn't changed that much. Only about 8 or 9% outside the West knew the Lord Jesus. But today, that's changed. Now, that's all different. 60% of believers now are found outside the West. In 1900, in Korea, South Korea, there were estimated to be 10,000 believers in South Korea. And by 1990, estimated over 10 million believers in North Korea. That's where the work of God is really active, in places like China and Korea. And there's great growth going on there right now. Along with the great growth, though, there's great suffering and great persecution. And I think we've been sheltered. I know I've been sheltered here. I think about the Great Awakening in America, early 1800s, 1850s. But most of the work of the Great Awakening went to the English-speaking countries and really didn't go outside the West. And that's all different now. And we need to have look at the words that we were just singing, and I think about what we were just singing about having our eyes opened so that we can see Jesus, we need to have our eyes open so that we can see the nations. I think that's one thing that's heavy on God's heart, is that we could see the nations the way Jesus sees the nations. I think about what Jesus said to Paul, when Saul was converted. Jesus said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul said, "Lord, who are you?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And Saul was persecuting the church, and that's what's happening all around us outside the West today. And we need to see Jesus that way too. I wanted to read this verse. This is Hebrews 13:3, and this is really the verse that probably best represents Voice of the Martyrs. Oh yeah, I got it right here. Hebrews 13:3 says this: "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated or persecuted, since you yourselves also are in the body." And I think that's something that we need to begin praying about, that we would see the persecuted church as part of the body of whom we're part, and that we would begin to feel for the persecuted church. I don't know about you, but I haven't really sensed, I haven't had a sense of connection I haven't had a real sense of suffering with the persecuted church, and I think most of it has been because I've just been unaware of what's happening out there. So part of what we're going to share with you, I think, will help with that. We have about a four-minute video from Voice of the Martyrs that we'd like to share right now, and then we can talk a little bit about what Voice of the Martyrs is actually doing and how we can help. So, Jake, if you wouldn't mind running that video. Sit down.
Imagine. Islamic soldiers force your 10-year-old son to gather wood for a fire. The soldiers pressure him to convert to Islam. When he refuses, he's thrown on the burning wood he collected and left to die.
They told me I would be released if I became a Muslim. I told them that was not possible. I am a Christian, so they threw me on the fire.
Your son escapes, but the scars remain, a reminder of his sacrifice. Imagine. Your teenage daughter goes to Bible camp. On the second day, the students are attacked. One of the attackers secures her hands behind her back, while another holds a piece of broken glass to her stomach. She's told to deny Christ.
I did not answer him, so he pressed the glass harder against me. Do you believe your God can help you? He asked.
Gripped with fear, she cries out, "Help me, Lord, I do not want to deny you." Imagine. Your pastor has refused to register his church with the government. During the service, he's dragged from the church and beaten by the local police. When the officers find a Bible hidden in his shirt, he's beaten with it.
After returning home, I felt pain all over my body. It was almost numb at the beginning, but later became so painful that I could not sleep.
It is the fifth time he's been arrested. If he's caught again, the police say they will kill him. Every day, thousands of Christians are persecuted for their faith. Hundreds are martyred, about one every 3 minutes. They're not heroes or statistics, they're family. In over 40 nations around the globe, our family is assaulted for their testimony of Jesus Christ. In most instances, the persecution could have been averted if they had simply denied Christ, but they didn't, and they won't. In Sudan, an Islamic army set on jihad, or holy war, has systematically targeted Christians. Death and suffering can be seen throughout the countryside. Countless Christians are being displaced within their own country. Fleeing from persecution, they've lost everything, often arriving at refugee camps with nothing more than the clothes on their backs. In spite of heavy persecution, the church in Sudan continues growing at astonishing rates. Many of the believers bear the scars of their faith, but they also bear a testimony to God's faithfulness. Over 500 churches have been destroyed in Indonesia. On the island of Ambon, Christians have been massacred in a so-called religious cleansing by radical Muslims. Facing increased persecution, pastors in Jakarta have encouraged their congregations to stand firm, confident that their suffering is a prelude to coming revival. With the fall of communism in Eastern Europe, many have hailed its defeat. But Christians in North Korea, Vietnam, Laos, or China would disagree. Hmong villagers have been imprisoned in Vietnam and Laos after converting to Christianity. Some have had boiling water poured down their throats for simply possessing a Bible in their own language. The Hmong tribe is the largest in Southeast Asia, numbering 10 million. Meeting secretly in homes, more than 2 million have recently committed their lives to Christ. The persecution facing our brothers and sisters is not a human tragedy. It's a spiritual reality facing the body of Christ. We may not be able to stop the attacks, but we can ease their pain. Through prayer, encouragement, and practical assistance, we can fellowship in their suffering. We can show them that they are not forgotten. It's hard to ignore their pain after you hear their cries.
Pada saat itu, benar-benar kita semua teriak. Kita teriak, Tuhan tolong kami.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Sue. She has some things to share with you about Voice of the Martyrs resources, things that can help us, I think, in the way that we pray, in the way that we help serve the persecuted church. But something that I think God's been impressing me with is there is an urgency to all of this. I believe that now is a crucial time for a couple reasons. I think the book Yohanan wrote called it's a worldwide revival or something like that. I forgot. I should have written it down. Anyway, the thing he says that struck me was, and he's speaking to the Westerners like us, why do you think you have so much? And that's a good question. Why do you think you have so much? What are we here for? And I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves every day, because right now we have the ability to help. Right now, we not only do we have an abundance to share, but we have opportunities and avenues to help. And Voice of the Martyrs is a good example. They've networked in over 40 countries so that the West can encourage and support and help. So I think there's a sense of urgency here, and I realize there's needs right here in America. I would say yes to that. But I'd also say, I think of an example I heard where if 10 men are bearing a big load like a telephone pole, and you want to help carry the load, and you see 9 men at one end of the phone pole, who do you help? And that's kind of how I feel about the persecuted church and the suffering church right now, because in America, there are great needs right now, but there are many supports in place. In places like China and Vietnam and Sudan, there are great needs, but there isn't great support in place. And the analogy is that Voice of the Martyrs gave was, it's like having a doctor on a bus, and the bus wrecks, and there are hundreds that are injured in the bus wreck, and the doctor has the ability to help the people, and there's great need, but he doesn't have his instruments. And he says, you know, there's so much I could do to help, but I don't have the instruments I need to help. And that's how it is in much of the church today. So I'm going to turn this over to Sue.
I just wanted to add one verse to just tie in with what Jim was saying. Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of faith." And I think that we have an opportunity here to help our brothers and sisters. We are part of the body of Christ, and we're being made aware of their suffering and the persecution that they're going through. And it's our privilege to share in that suffering with them, just as we share in the sufferings of Christ. I think that's really important. I just wanted to share a little bit about Voice of the Martyrs. I wanted to give you, they have 5 main purposes, just so you have a little background on the ministry. One, they want to encourage and empower Christians to fulfill the Great Commission in the areas of the world where they're persecuted for propagating the gospel of Jesus. They do that by distributing Bibles in the language of the people. They send radio broadcasts into closed countries. They send aid in many different ways, send literature, Christian literature. They also want to give relief to families of Christian martyrs who've been persecuted or killed in these areas of the world. They also want to undertake projects of encouragement, helping people to rebuild their lives, especially in the former communist countries where they've suffered under communist oppression. They also want to help equip the local Christians to win to Jesus those people who are persecuting them, just like Dave shared earlier. When Pastor Wormbrandt was in prison, his heart wasn't hardened towards these guards, but he, as well as the other Christians that were there, their desire was to really win these people to Christ. They didn't become hardened. They were really softened for them. And that spoke a lot to me because, you know, I question, would I be like that? You know, that's the heart of Jesus. And then the final goal of Voice of the Martyrs is to inform the rest of the world of the atrocities that are still being committed against Christians around the world. And so that's part of the reason that we're here, is just to help inform other Christians so that they can be part of the solution. And I wanted to go through some of the ways that you could help Voice of the Martyrs. They're just one ministry that is helping the persecuted church. And of course, first and foremost on the list would be to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And to just really be on your knees for them, lifting them up, asking that God would give them strength day after day as they are imprisoned, as they are tortured, as their families are separated. Please be in prayer for them.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
Most of the requests that come out of the suffering church for prayer aren't requests that they would be removed from the suffering.
Right.
It's that they would stand in the midst of the suffering, that their faith wouldn't fail, that their witness wouldn't fail, that they would endure. And in fact, in China, those believers that are imprisoned in China, as they pray for the American church, they pray that we would encounter or experience some suffering and persecution so as to strengthen us in the faith.
Right.
They fear materialism more than they do the persecution, because they understand and believe that materialism kills the church faster than the persecution. In most cases, the persecution purifies and builds the church. So these are believers that they want our prayer that they would be able to continue to win to Christ their persecutors and win their people, their nation, to Jesus Christ. So it's a different kind of prayer than you might expect.
Good, thanks. The second thing I wanted to just ask you is to try to be informed. And we're going to give you opportunity to do that. How many people here right now receive the Voice of the Martyrs monthly newsletter? It's a free publication. Good, a lot of people do. Well, we're going to be giving you out a card in just a few minutes. And if you are not getting that, we'd love to have you sign up. There's no fee, it comes once a month, and it's a great opportunity to hear about what's happening in different nations. It's also a great thing to share with your children as part of homeschool. You could use it in devotions, you can use it in geography. It's wonderful. I also have some special edition magazines for you to take if you'd like on the back table. And inside them, they have one of these large maps which shows all the areas of persecution. It's a fold-out inside the special edition, and you're welcome to have one of those.
Tell them about the link.
Right, that was next.
Yeah.
Also, another thing you can sign up for is the Link magazine. Whereas the normal Voice of the Martyrs magazine is more geared toward adults, this one is published quarterly, and it's geared specifically for children, and it really is a great magazine, and you can use it. I've used it in Sunday school class before with my kids. And it usually highlights a different country each quarter, gives you geography, gives you stories about children that live in that area, what their culture is like, and what they're going through and suffering for Jesus. Another thing that you can do is, if you feel that God's leading you to support Voice of the Martyrs, would be to give to the ministry. Financial donations are always needed. You could specify where it's needed most, or you can pick a program that they have which God might have laid on your heart. They have lots of great programs. One of them that we've recently become involved with is called the Pastor Support Program. And for as little as $25 a month, you can support a pastor and his family, which will provide their food and clothing and their basic needs so that they are free to do the work of the ministry full time. And they don't have to have a burden of having additional work or just worrying about where the needs for their family will come from. They give you a picture. We put it on our refrigerator. They will write to you also once or twice a year. So that's an opportunity. Other things that this particular church has already taken part in would be the Blankets of Love program, where we've sent blankets down to Sudan. About 3 or 4 years ago, Teens for Christ and the Bible Quizzing Program collected blankets, and we got, maybe about 125 blankets, and we took them down to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where the ministry headquarters are, and they shipped those over to Sudan. Well, we did it again last year, and we had over 300 blankets. And it's such a blessing to these people, because in Sudan, so many of them have been displaced, and they may not have any shelter other than that blanket or any way to carry their worldly belongings except for the blanket that they've been sent. Another thing that you can do is fill action packs. You ask what an action pack is. This is an action pack. And what it is a gift to a family in a persecuted nation. And it's filled with things that Voice of the Martyrs will give you a list of suggested donation items. And I just happened to recently go to a birthday party for a 15-year-old homeschool girl. She called Voice of the Martyrs and said, could you send a representative to my house to my birthday party? I would like to teach the other girls a little bit about Voice of the Martyrs. And what she was doing was, instead of having birthday gifts, she had all the girls bring something to pack an action pack. And then I got to share with them a video about Voice of the Martyrs, where that action pack would go. And a couple of the girls had heard of the ministry, or even that Christians were suffering, but so many hadn't. So that was a great opportunity, and I thought that showed some real maturity on that girl's part. There are lots of different opportunities with Voice of the Martyrs. And then one of the last things you could do, if this is a ministry where God lays your heart, is you could also become a volunteer for them. They have a headquarters down in Oklahoma, and families or youth groups can go down there and volunteer for a few days to a week. They can help set up housing, and you can work in their warehouse and pack materials, Christian literature, Bibles. You can help pack blankets to be sent over to these persecuted nations. They also have a new program where you can write to imprisoned believers also. Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything? And I'll be standing back. We do, like Dave said, we have a resource table in the back. So after church, please come look at those things. And if you have any questions, I'd love for you to ask me. Oh, one other thing. Yes. I have from Voice of the Martyrs, because this is International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, I have one of these little booklets for each family group. So just one per family, please. And it tells you a little bit about the ministry. And it also, they would like to send you one free book. Thank you. Either Jesus Freaks, which is a modern language story about martyrs, past and present. Extreme Devotion, which is 365 devotionals about persecuted Christians. Or the book that Dave was talking about, Tortured for Christ, which is the story of Richard Wurmbrand, the founder of the ministry. And if you'll sign this, you can check which book your family would like to receive. And if you're not on their mailing list, then they will go ahead and put you on the mailing list, and you'll get that monthly magazine for free. So I don't know if there's, do you want to, after Jim's finished, we'll have the ushers come up, and they can distribute these to one per household.
Good. Okay, I wanted to just close this, or finish this time. I want to open it up so that we can pray as a body for the suffering church. If you feel led to pray, I'd like to read one passage or verse from Isaiah. And this is something that has been on my heart lately. This is from Isaiah 58. And verse 6 and 7 says this. The Lord says, "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh?" And then he goes on. But I think the question that's been on my heart, and something that we should pray about, is not only the question, who do we help, but are we willing to share our bread? Are we willing to share when we know about the need and we have a way to address it, and there's a network there? Some go, most of us won't go to the nations, but we can still support. So it's something that I think we should begin praying about. It's already happening in the church with the outreach to Louisiana and other things. I think it's on the Lord's heart, and he's beginning to really I don't know, break the ice up where it needs to be broken. And so I'd like to not only pray for the persecuted church, but pray for our part in the persecuted church as part of the body. You know, in Matthew 24, Jesus, as he's talking to the disciples on the Mount of Olives, he says, this gospel of the kingdom will go forth into all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, the point there that strikes me is that the gospel will go forth to all the nations. The question is, what part will we play in it? What part are we going to play in it? So why don't we pray? I'll open, and if you could pray as you feel led for the suffering church, the persecuted church. And Dave, you can take that if you want. You can,
that'd be great.
Okay.
I'm going to actually take the mic right here. So if you want to pray, come up so that everybody can hear. We'll use the mic.
This mic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you, and it's in the name of Jesus that we ask that you would guide us in the way that we pray. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us, that you would prompt us and guide us, that you would open the eyes of our heart, not only to see you, but to see the nations, to see your body, the worldwide church, just the way that you do. We ask that you would help us to be sensitive to what is on your heart for the church outside the West. And Lord, we say that it's our desire to be useful instruments, useful tools in your hand. We pray that you would change our heart, change what's ever necessary inside of us. And where we're blind, we pray that you give us vision and help us to see. Please help us to pray now as we should, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray.
If you feel led to pray, just come on up here right now.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you for the opportunity to pray for the persecuted church. Lord, that we could lift them up in prayer, Lord, and we know that you hear these prayers, Lord. We also pray for the persecutors, the people that are the act of doing this, Lord, that you would open their eyes to your glory and your grace, Lord. Go before the persecuted church, Lord, and open the doors for them and to bring it to your glory, Lord. We praise you for this opportunity and that we could worship you in understanding, Lord, that persecution brings glory.
Heavenly Father, I just lift up our brothers and sisters in the countries that are being counted as worthy to receive the suffering you've called them to. Father, I pray that you would give them much patience and endurance during their trials, Lord. Father, I pray that their eyes would be completely fixed upon you. And Lord, that when they start to waver, God, that you would just gently remind them that their reward is up in heaven and that no one could take them away from you, God. Father, I just ask that as you are calling the church to be mindful of our brothers and sisters who are suffering, God, that we would be faithful to bend our knees and to have our hearts and our minds on their needs, God. And Lord Jesus, I do just ask that you would strengthen them in their trials, Lord.
Father, we come to you this night in the name of Jesus. We want to thank you that we can know you. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you've done for us. And Father, we are so grateful for the material things that you've blessed us with. And as already been said, Lord, these things can be a curse, but they don't have to be. And Father, we know that when blessing comes, that responsibility comes with it. And we ask and pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would touch each and every heart here, that we would reach out as you might lead us, Lord, to where there are needs, so that we might be found faithful in fulfilling the obligations that your blessings have placed upon us. And Lord, has already has been spoken here tonight. We pray, Father, for those that are actually suffering right now. Lord, since we started this service, there have been people who have died. There are people, Lord, who are crying out to you even as we speak now. And Lord, we do not know their names, but you know them, Lord. And we just ask and pray, Jesus, that you would hear their cry and that you would give them the strength of your presence, that you would strengthen their faith, Lord Jesus, and that you would, they would come so close to you, Lord, that even their pain would go away in the light of your presence and your grace. And we pray, Lord, that by their suffering, there would be a witness to those that are persecuting them. We pray, Father, that you would soften their hearts and they would see your love, a love that passes all understanding, a love that can be explained in no way by our own sinful, selfish natures, and a love, Lord, that can only come through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that this would shine through. And even as we speak, Lord, we pray that hearts are being touched in these persecutors, and that, Lord, that they would surrender all to you. And Father, we just want to again thank you so much for what you have done for us. And we want to be found faithful, Lord, in all the things that you've blessed us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I want to echo the prayers of my brother. And God, may our hearts ache, God, for our fellow Christians around the world. God, you said in your word that when one part suffers, we all suffer. And God, give us that spirit-given understanding and heart for our fellow brothers. God, I specifically pray right now for our brothers and sisters in Indonesia. Father, as the sun comes up on Sunday morning, there are some who are gathering there right now, God, to worship you. And Father, I thank you for the revival that's breaking out in Indonesia, God, because of the tsunami. Father, I thank you that it is the love of Christians that is bringing healing to that land. It is the love of Christians that's bringing not only fresh water where there is none, but living water where souls are dead. And Father, I pray specifically right now for Jim Harris, God, a missionary there who's, God, just left everything this summer to go there and preach the gospel in those islands. And Father, I just pray that you would protect him. Father, I pray this morning as he speaks at a church, God, that you would just give him mighty wisdom, God, that your spirit would be upon him. God, I pray that he would encourage the pastors on that island this morning. And Father, I just pray that, God, that there might be more people come to you because of the witness there.
Father, I agree with all the prayers that have been prayed. Specifically, Father, I thank you for Jim sharing about the pole. Lord, I'm not sure which end of the pole I'm supposed to run to, but I know this body here has been called to do some things, and we have been blessed for a reason. There's many great teachers and folks here who love you, Lord. I'm not sure what you want to do with us here, Lord, but I believe you brought Jim and Sue up here tonight to show us this, to give us a glimpse of what you're doing around us, and we can't even begin to understand the suffering they're going through. We know this, they are our brothers and sisters, and they do need us to stand with them. So, Lord, I'm praying right now for them, that pastor I saw on the screen, that right now, Lord, I'm going to pray for him. Lord, we pray for you, Pastor. We don't know you right now, but we know you're our brother, and we pray for your protection. We pray that you continue to be example to us and standing firm for the truth. And I pray that God watches over you and that he increases what you're doing in the work 100-fold even now. And your persecutors would be brought to Christ through your steadfast devotion to the Lord. And for the people in your church and the body there, Lord, that they would be encouraged by the faithfulness. And Lord, somehow they know right now that there's a body in Ofala, Missouri, praying for them right now, this moment, whatever they're doing, and that you're going to do something in that congregation this morning. And I pray for that young girl who was in the camp, Lord, who had the glass in her stomach, watching her weep But obviously you did something in her, Lord. You were with her and protected her. Give her strength right now to know that she is not alone. And it says there are a great host of witnesses standing alongside them. And I thank you for that, Lord. And Father, right now I pray for the work that is going on all around us. I pray for George and Ann Nidus in Bali, Lord, and the work they're doing there, and so many other missionaries we know in different areas right now. For Carrie, Lord, and the work she's doing in different areas. So many, Lord, there's so much more to be done. Lord, even here now, you know my heart, maybe some of us are being called and pulled to not just talk about it, but to go and do something about it. Maybe some here are supposed to leave and go like this Jim Harris fellow went and preach this good news over there in those countries, Lord. It's time for us to quit sitting down and waiting, Father. It's time for us to move, and I pray that our hearts are melted and they're moved, and we'll throw off the restraints of the things that hold us back and go do what you've called us to do, Lord. I pray you would change us, this church, and make us who you want us to be. And so, Father, we thank you for your grace of bringing us through this, and, Lord, for the grace of dragging us into what needs to be done. And, Lord, I think I agree with what was shared with the pastors and believers over there. They're afraid of the materialism. And I agree with Mike, Lord, we don't need to be afraid of the materialism. There's a reason it's around us right now. Help us to use it the other way. But, Lord, if we need to stand up and even come up and come against persecution here in this country, and it's here, Lord, that we wouldn't back down, that we would be like our brothers around these persecuted countries, that we would get at all costs, we would not back up. And Father, we'd stand for it. Lord, you know how I die for the unborn, and that what a catastrophe that is. I can't think of any more persecution right now on a defenseless person. Father, I pray for us to stand up against that even more than we're doing now.
Yes, Lord.
I pray you would just raise up a loud cry across this nation, and that we wouldn't just yell and scream, we'd go do something about it, Lord. And I pray for the folks here that are going to do something. I pray right now for those right now. I believe you're touching and moving. I know, Lord, you showed me something back there, that sitting next to Dustin and David in the back there, that you had your arms around them and that you're watching over them even now, no matter what they have to go through here. And the next days you're watching over them. I believe you're doing that with a lot of folks here right now who are wondering what's God doing right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would just surround them with your arms and love. But you would tell them it's time to go. It's time to quit waiting, and it's time to go, Father. I really believe that you're calling us out. We cannot sit in these chairs anymore. We have to go do something. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to do it. I pray you would bless the folks that are going to move and the folks that are going to stay and pray, and the people that are going to be here and be a part of this, do this. And God, I pray for the young people right now. They've watched this, that they would know this is their lot. We serve. As David said, our Redeemer lives. And man, we know we will stand with him today. And Lord, we stand with you today and ask you to do something in us, in Jesus' name.
I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, mm-hmm. who bring glad tidings of good things. Dear Lord, forgive us for being ashamed of the gospel. We who are not even really facing true persecution, many of us have not opened our mouths when you've given us opportunity. Some of us have not shared with our neighbors, we've not shared with our coworkers, because we're ashamed. Mm-hmm. Forgive us, Jesus. we're being ashamed of you. We thank you for the testimony of the suffering church. Mm-hmm. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would count all things loss to know Jesus Christ and his sufferings. Mm-hmm. Lord, we don't want to live and die in comfort. We don't want our lives to be wasted on things. We don't want to stand before you and be ashamed because we never went when we were called. Mm-hmm. God, I believe, Lord, that there are people in this room that you are calling. There are people in this room that have already heard your call. Mm-hmm. There are people in this room that were called from their mother's womb. And they know it, and they're striving against it, they're resisting it. Jesus, for your name's sake, bring them to repentance. Mm-hmm. For your name's sake, may each one of us bow our neck and take the yoke of Christ upon us. Whether that we would go to Louisiana, or overseas on the mission field, or just to our neighbors and to our co-workers. Dear Lord, cause us to go. Mm-hmm. We love you, Jesus, more than anything. Amen. We love you more than the praise of men. We love you more than our comfort. Make us a people with beautiful feet.
I have a specific prayer request. A friend of mine grew up as a missionary's daughter in the Congo, and they still are very much in contact with their church that they started over there. And one of the young men that had claimed Christ a long time ago and eventually became a pastor has now turned his back on the faith and basically become a wolf in sheep's clothing, and is even arranged because of his own desire for power within the Christian church in the Congo, has arranged for the deaths of several of the other committed pastors. Father, I want to pray for the conviction of this man. His name is Mundio. I want to pray that you would bring him to his knees. He's been confronted by the believing Christians at great risk to themselves. He's driven many pastors into hiding. Father, I am so thankful that we can count on you. We can count on your faithfulness and your power. Just when we pray, just when we take the time to pray. And thank you for opening up this opportunity for our church body to pray for these people. And we look to you, Lord, to stop Mundio. We thank you, Father, that the church still is operating there, that even though he is yielding to the evil intent of the enemy, that doesn't stop the spread of your gospel there. But we pray for the protection of those folks and also for the heartache of the families who've had a loved one and a breadwinner in their family be murdered. And I ask you, Lord, to bring that to an end and all for the glory of your name, Father. Thank you.
Father, I also just want to thank you for our church, and I pray, Lord, that we would get a vision for the church universal like you have, Lord, that we're we're all one, and I pray that you would show us our part, Lord, and help us to be obedient and walk in your truth and walk in your ways. And I pray that you would just give this church, Liberty Christian Church, a vision for the church universal and a heart for it and a heart for the persecuted church. And we just want, again, to glorify you in what we do and what we say and in our actions. So I pray that you would reveal to us how we should serve and where we should go and what we should do, and that we would walk in obedience to you, Lord. Again, thank you for this body of believers, and thank you for this prayer time. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name because of your blood, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm going to have Ben still come up here because this is his last week. He's going to run out of time. But one thing I want to say before Ben comes up here, as he comes up here, is a lot of you may not know, but Jim and Sue are actually representatives for the Voice of Martyrs, and they go to various churches and are serving in that way. So I don't know whether you guys knew that or not, but that's a ministry that they participate in, going around to other churches and speaking on Sunday mornings and other places. So we need to appreciate that and be praying for them as they do that. Yeah, they're going to pass these things out while Ben speaks, possibly. Oh, you're going to take all your stuff here?
I just want to take this away. I also want to say, just to follow what Dave said, we have not spoken at another church yet, okay?
We're first.
So tomorrow we're supposed to go speak for an hour in Belleville at a church. And so you can be praying for us, because I don't know who we're going to be talking to. They may be a classroom full of missionaries. And we're new at this, so please pray that the Lord would guide us in the things that we share.
Okay, thanks, Jim. We really appreciate it. And as Ben comes up, what I want to say, what really spoke to me or what stuck out in my mind was that in 1800 there was 1% of the church outside of the United States that was Christian, or outside of the Western world. In 1900 it was 8%, and now it's 60%. And I wish Mike Cordner could come up here and give us a lecture on the Puritans and the Pilgrims and when their mission. Because if you remember, and Mike needs to do this one of these days, I mean, the pastor, John Robinson, I mean, his vision was for the gospel to come. And one of the reasons they came here was for this to be a light to the world. And you know what? That's step one. Now, step two is the gospel is becoming the light to the world. And step three is, you know what? We need to be out there praying for the people that are being persecuted now and supporting them, all right? So I just think that's really cool. If we look at this a little more long term, then there's people out there being persecuted. If we look at it from the view of, I mean, John Robinson, if he was standing here today and he saw that 60% of the Christians in the world are now outside the Western world, he would be thrilled. He would be thrilled, and we're a part of that. And we can be part of that heritage. Amen. And you know what? I'm going to have Ben come up here, but one thing I want to say about Ben is I've eaten lunch with Ben just about every day for the past 4 years, so I'm really going to miss him. I know that you know, he's going there and he's called there, but I'm going to miss him. Come on up here, Ben.
Hi. This is a bittersweet time for me and my family. Somewhat emotional for me too, so hope you forgive me. I do have a bit of a praise report. I decided not to wear my hula skirt tonight, so you know, so I can at least help you out there. God's been doing a whole lot in my life, and my wife Audrey and our kids and stuff, and you know, God is so good, and he is so great, and just even what we were talking about here tonight with the martyrs around the world and everything, you know, really what Audrey and I are doing is, you know, last week was an awesome service. The Lord spoke to me in so many ways, just as far as trials, you know. I was kind of thinking about last week as Dave was talking and stuff about just trials and hardships in our life and thing, you know. So you look through the Bible, a lot of the stories that you read, you know, the greatest trials, after the greatest trials came some of the greatest miracles, you know. You see things like the Red Sea or David and Goliath or Daniel in the lion's den, and the greatest one, Jesus' trial, you know, and in him being on the cross and the redemption of our sins, you know, in our lives. And you know, I go, Audrey and I are going to be leaving on Tuesday to go to Honolulu. It's been a long time coming for us as far as some of the things that God's been teaching us. And we go there with, in a certain regard, great trepidation, just because, you know, we feel like that we're stepping out in a way over a precipice, you know. And but at the same time, we're really excited just about really serving the Lord in ways that we could never imagine, you know. And I want to read you a verse that the Lord gave me a long time ago when I was in eighth grade. It's out of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. This is Paul. It says, "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable, the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things." You know, God gave that to me a long time ago when I was little, and he spoke through this verse and through some people in my lives about the calling that God has on my life. And you know, as we're Christians and God's saved us by grace, you know, we all of a sudden step into a new light and we step into a new existence in so many different ways. You know, God has created each one of us as we become Christians as into full-time ministers of the Word of God. And that, you know, we are now serving under Christ Jesus and his great commission in our lives. And what we were talking about tonight as far as the martyrs and all that too, that's just, you know, we have it so easy, you know, and there's so many things that it's so easy for us just to come here tonight in a lot of ways, and I've done it a million times where I listen to some great things like this and get really encouraged and want to do something and want to get out my checkbook maybe and write a check, you know, or even maybe go on a missions trip somewhere and do something. But it seems to wane a lot of times in my life, you know, and it's like in a way I'm in the desert, like the Israelites were for the 40 years, you know. I come going in circles and circles and circles, and I come around to the point where I'm near the Jordan River, and, you know, there's the promised land. Okay, let's go around another lap, you know, and stuff. But I never realized the promise that God has for me, you know. I'm going to read also real quick from Joshua. This is a scripture that the Lord gave Audrey and I about 5 years ago as we started reconsidering all that God had for us. I think this applies to what the Lord's been doing here tonight in the last couple weeks. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, and all this people to the land which I am giving them to the sons of Israel.'" Right there at the beginning of verse 2, the Lord spoke to us about that, saying, when God said to Joshua, he says, "Moses, my servant, is dead." You know, Joshua and Moses had a unique relationship. They were one that, of a mentor and a mentee, I guess you could say. And one that, they had a special relationship. I think they were probably good friends, you know, and they probably had times where they sparred, too, over a couple different things. But, Moses was dead, and God was talking to Joshua, saying, "You know what? This is a new time in your life. This is a vision and something that I'm placing in your life, and I'm sending you somewhere. And I don't want you to live under the shadow of who Moses was, however good he was in your life. And I'm doing a new thing, and I'm going to allow you to take Israel into the promised land." Verse 3, "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses." This is a promise that God gave the Israelites, and he repeated it here to Joshua. "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads." And you notice the tense in here as we read it. It says, "Every place on which the sole of your foot treads." This is a future thing as they cross the Jordan River into the promised land. It says, "I have given it to you." That's a past thing. It's already set in stone what God has for us. It's whether or not we step out and take possession of it. And, you know, that really spoke volumes to me as far as the fact that, you know, God has my life secure for me. You know, it's a matter of whether or not I'm obedient. And, you know, as Audrey and I move and we do the things that we do, you know, we covet your prayers And we look forward to coming back and sharing all the great things that God has for us. You know, you guys have done so much for us over the 10 years that I've been here, and Audrey, and just recently, some of the things that have gone on in our lives just in the last few months, where Hannah was born early, and just all the help that we had and things, and we so much appreciate that, you know. Says, you know, the things that I really want to encourage us all in is that, you know, we really truly only do have one life to live. God's given each one of us a life. And, you know, what kind of evens us all out here is that we all have 24 hours in a day, you know, and God's given us equal amount of time in our lives. God's calling us to go do what we're going to do. We're going to be a part of a church in Hawaii that we're going to be interning with for approximately 3 years or so, and we feel like that the Lord's called us to go plant a church. And we're very excited about that. And like Paul, I feel as though I'm the least of all the saints, you know, and I don't feel like I have the tools to do that. But God's grace, and ultimately God's the one that speaks through me and does the things through me. It's my prayer, you know, we talked last, as Pastor Vaughn was talking last week, you know, my prayer last week was that I'd be consumed by God. You know, every single thing about me would be consumed, that I would take my life and I would put it on the altar before him, and I would let it be consumed by him and let everything that's of me just disappear, you know? And, you know, there's so many things in my life over the years that I've harbored and I've held on to in my heart. I serve the Lord up here and I worship, and I lead worship sometimes. I come to church, I do sound, I go to work, I have my job, I have my nice family, I have a nice house that I live in and everything. And I kind of found ourselves in a spot where I was doing everything, you know. I was doing things that were okay and that were decent and good and maybe even pleasing to the Lord, but I was doing it, you know. And I really want to get to the point to where everything that I am, I'm willing to put on the table for him and let him do what he wants with it. I want everything in my life, whether it's my money, my job, my family, everything that I am, I want to put on the altar before the Lord, let him do what he wants with it. And I really encourage, you know, as we're going doing this, and there's areas in my life that God is really going to start stretching me in so many ways, you know. And I really covet your prayers that that we would be able to, that the Lord would sustain us through the things that we'll go through, you know. And so I just, we love you guys, and we're going to miss you guys, and we so much love worshiping with you, and it's just been you. There's so many countless things that we could just say how much we appreciate you and love you, and so with that said, I just want to say aloha. Okay? Amen.
Not as good as the cordless one.
Let y'all stand. Lift your hand to the Lord and pray with us. Pray a blessing over them. Father God in heaven.